Good morning. We continue with our work. We're working through Rav Obi's Olam Hayedidos between 6 and 10. And today, Rav Obi, who has been talking to an audience, trying to explain what the world of Emunah is all about. And yesterday he helped us understand that the Olam Hayedidos has nothing to fear. And so the one who believes in the world of friendship, in the world of connection, has nothing to fear in life. There's no need to run a world on anxiety. And so why is it that Emunah produces and seems so elusive and fleeting? Says Rav Obi, the answer is very clear. It's the understanding that the world isn't clear. It's the world doesn't necessarily run by a set path in a person's mind. And so therefore people rely on other people or on nature or other constants in life, because that's what we know, and we tend to connect to those things. But we should also know that there's an innate faith that exists within each person, and that innate faith can be identified within prayer. After all, when somebody is in a tough conversation and he or she doesn't know how to handle it, we throw up our hands and we say, "Oh God." And in fact, when we hear something shocking, we turn around and we say, "Oh my gosh." Right? It doesn't matter. If you don't believe, you wouldn't have that innate nature. Prayer, by definition, is what happens when we go back to our innate situations. We go back into our innate beliefs. What is inside of us is actually the non-believer who has to work to be a non-believer, says Rav Obi. When you sit down at your desk and you try to analyze philosophically, is there a God? Then you might come to a different conclusion, right? But you have to work hard to unexplain what the natural order of things are. In fact, he goes ahead and he points out that there are no atheists in foxholes. And to make his point, he tells two stories. One, he tells us an old song. He tells a story about a certain individual who had left their Jewish religion. And he took his wife with him, and he convinced her also to go ahead and give up a religious lifestyle. And so, of course, the couple went. She's somewhat more reluctant than he, but they went. And she got sick towards the end of her life, and she was dying. And as she's on her last legs, he asks her, "Do you want to go ahead and go see the priest? After all, you're entitled to the last rites." And she looks at him from her deathbed, and she says to him, now I should go ahead? I have the last couple of moments of life, and I don't know what's going to happen after the last couple of moments. But one thing I do know, kfira, or denial of God's existence, that is something that exists for a living person. A living person can go ahead and be a kofer. But for somebody who's dead, the denial doesn't go ahead and go with you. It doesn't hold you, it doesn't caress you, it doesn't come with you. It's a denial, it's something that you don't have. And so therefore it doesn't go into death. And so the husband sees his wife pass on. She refuses to accept last rites from the priest, and he can't understand where he failed in his world of kfira, that his wife gave up at the last couple of moments. Later, his kid got very sick, and was also on his own deathbed. And as the doctors were trying to save his life and work with him, one particular night in what the singer calls a lapse of judgment, the man falls to his knees and prays to God. And when he gets up afterwards, he's so frustrated with himself. How could he pray to God? He doesn't believe in God. How should he turn around and explain? He says, it must have been a momentary insanity. That's the song. And that's the way that the poetry reads. But Rav Obi says, no. It wasn't temporary insanity. It was temporary sanity for a moment because of circumstances. He turned back to his innate nature. And the innate nature that exists for an individual is to turn around and realize when you have it, when you strip away all the other things that hold us away from God, by definition, you come back to the understanding of God. When you have nothing else, Hashleicha l'Hashem Yehavcha, you can throw it all onto God and you'll know He'll be with you. That was story number one to prove the point. Story number two that he tells happened. Now remember, he's talking between 67 and 73, so he talks about the Sinai campaign. In 56, there was a certain boat filled with chayalim, all different types of chayalim, and it hit it scraped the bottom of the Red Sea, and was taking on water. It struck a coral and a coral reef, and it was taking on water. And of course, everyone in the boat was quickly drowning. And so the boat that had soldiers from the Shomer HaTzair and the Kibbutz HaMeuchad and people who came from other different levels of perhaps what you and I would call not necessarily overtly religious, but all of a sudden everybody was screaming, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Hashem, please save us. Somehow, when you're in school or in the university, you might be able to declare, I am a Chiloni, I am somebody who is a person who is secular. But when there are questions of life and death, there is no such thing as a Chiloni. By definition, says Rav Volbe, if you're alive, you're going to be religious. Why is that? The question is, by definition, where do you want to direct your religious fervor? What are you looking to connect to? Very often in life, we replace our ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and see the way that He runs the world with a connection to somebody else. We have a sports star, we call him an idol, right? A LeBron James, who could win an MVP award with three different teams. So he's the idol. I think that's a great term. He is an idol. What does he represent? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wins with the world every single day. So what are we celebrating and supervising in a LeBron? Quite the opposite. What we connect to is his extreme experience and expertise over a particular small area of life, that of basketball or sports. We look up and we can have an idol who would be in our field, whether it be a business tycoon, whether it be a scientist, a doctor of medicine. All of those people are means for us to connect, because whatever it is they're doing, we find valuable. And Anthony Fauci, right, who for whatever reason has been involved and identified as an idealized individual, but in the end of the day, we're looking for a substitute for that which is really worthy of service, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Volbe, in these particular situations, the real idol, the real way that we connect, the real religious situation is identified by David HaMelech in one of the most famous Tehillims, Neber Chav Gimel, Hashem Roi Lo Achzar, God watches out to me, right? And I'm not lost. Gam Keilech Begeitz Almavis Lo Yira Ra, Ki Atayim Adi. You have to understand, when I walk in the valley of the death, I don't need to be nervous, because I know that you're with us. Whether you're with us on the positive in a leadership position, or you're with us because you're whacking us to get us to where we need to be, shiftecha mishantecha, whether you're using your staff or the rod, heime yinachamuni, I know that either way, knowing that you are leading the process, there's where I'll get consolation. That's a nature that makes every single person potentially religious. How and where we choose to express our religion, that's up to us. But to know that we have the opportunity, that's something that we should carry with us each and every day. Have a terrific day.